I'd like to call to order the May 7th Community Center Committee meeting. Could we get roll call, please?
Chair Graves?
Present.
Vice Chair Steele?
Here.
Member Alexander?
Here.
Member Emmett?
Here.
Member Wiesen?
Here.
Awesome. This is time for public comments. If you have something that you'd like to comment on that is not an agendized item, this would be the time to come forward and have your voice heard.
I have more of a question than a comment.
Questions will be listed. Go ahead.
To find out when is the fitness equipment going to go away, and what's going to be the new fee structure? That's my question. Hope that will be addressed sometime.
That will be addressed sometime, and it will probably be even discussed this evening at some point.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that. When I just say discuss, I don't mean you may not get all your answers, but it'll be discussed.
Good idea. We're working on it.
We're working on it.
Don't want miracles.
Yes, sir.
Briefly?
Yes.
A couple of meetings ago, some of the members of the committee here addressed a pickleball courts and were wondering about the equipment that we use.
Mm.
And I just wondered if...
Part of that was me, but they put on a demonstration at Earth Day.
And so we had a tournament. I didn't see.
We got back there early and were able to see people trying to beat the wind.
It was a little tough.
But I thank you for that.
Okay.
Any other comments? Okay, then I will close public comments, and I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes. That's a first.
I'll second that.
Great. We have a first and a second. Is there any comment or modifications? Any comment from the public? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Do we have any presentations this evening, staff?
None tonight.
Fantastic. On to new business. Item E, Community Center Operations Update. I would like to turn this portion of the meeting over to staff, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Old habits are hard to break. Since we met last, there's been a number of things that have taken place that have been various things that have taken place, one of which is we learned just this week that we've heard from a bunch of the instructors that they are hearing from their clients, if you will, that they are intending on, they don't want to pay per individual class, so they plan on signing up and going to Delta Valley from Brentwood and taking their group classes up there at that facility. I'm not sure if that's all the instructors, but it's coming from a number. Which puts us in a little bit of a predicament relative to the ongoing programming moving forward at this point in time. Further down on the agenda, we've got the, under item 3, the future building renovation schedule. I kind of want to have a conversation with you guys relative to that, the overall facility, future programming, and moving forward with that. So that's really about all I have on the community center operations at this point in time. I guess what I'll be doing is I'll be asking for a recommendation under item 3 as it relates to what I just informed you.
Okay. Then let's move forward to Greenplay review.
Well, can we comment and discuss?
Sure, go ahead.
So programming concerns for future classes activities. Are they saying that they're no longer interested in providing those activities, or I don't understand?
They're looking to do the way that they'd be interested to continue doing the classes is if they were. If somebody could still come in and pay one fee and attend all of the classes, no matter who was instructed, which is along the lines of the gym membership and how you get to access. to operations in the community center doesn't really fit with that kind of program. So
you couldn't pay for
it. That's a whole different.
So is there any consideration to add that little package deal?
We've tried to consider several options, and again, we get back to it. We just had a meeting with Brentwood this week, and there are a number of considerations that we have as a public agency where we try not to hire the instructor. If you're paying them an hourly rate, and regardless of who's attending, we don't have control over how much money they make or not make, and you kind of bring them on as this part-time. There's liabilities with that. And so we're trying to avoid that situation and make sure that we're protecting the district moving forward with whatever the contracts are for programming. We've looked at a number of options. Well, another thing that got thrown out was that if we wanted to just rent a room to them, let's say that they just wanted to come reserve a room and hold a class and just provide insurance, well, the idea that Brentwood is doing with that is that they are looking at moving forward with that in upcoming seasons, and that they would rent it, but they probably wouldn't put them in the programming room because it's really a recreation station by the town, unless, and then with them we were kind of talking back and forth, well, maybe they could pay advertising in the guide if they wanted, instead of it just coming in as a split in the normal contracts we would do. So there are some options, but they're so far, we haven't been able to provide a solid, this is the way we can do it, that makes them comfortable. So it's not like we've shut the door completely, it's just, this is where they're at with where we're at. So
it sounds like we have a conflict with Delta Valley, and it sounds like that I think the community is asking for our diverse programming options, and so we need to explore those other. We need to explore those the fee systems and how do you get a qualified instructor to be on site during those hours that we offer that. We'll probably have to learn and figure out that was a dud, nobody showed up or whatever. But I think that the town should offer a complete programming, and there's probably other instructors out there too, and I don't know if it's not like you explored some liability issues that I don't really understand, but I don't know. I think we should carry on, and whether it's $5 a class or a package deal for 4 weeks at $30 or whatever the break even number is for the town and the staff to run it, but we need to explore those options too. I'm kind of thinking that the people that the instructor base there are qualified, but there may be other instructors out there that haven't had a chance to perform. So
yeah, I'm a little bit confused because I belong to Delta, and you don't get to do everything in that club for one set fee. There are outline fees for different programs as well. So I'm a little confused with, and even looking at Brentwood, if you want to take a program, each program is an individual fee. So I don't, I'm not clear on.
Well, that's our difficulty in offering a package where you could go to multiple classes. Really, how do you, one, you get away from the independent contractor status, and two, how do you, recover all of your direct costs with that, If one class isn't successful, do you allow it to remain in the package, or do you pull it? I mean, there's a number of considerations on how we would do that, and there's not really a model we can follow with other community centers. That's an idea brought about here because of the situation we're in with it being an athletic club at first and running like that, and now it's coming in to that type of management. So we're trying to find solutions, but it hasn't gotten there.
Any other comments from you?
Well, what people already quit?
None that I'm aware of.
Paul, again? Did you hear anything?
Yeah, I've been hearing the same thing also. And I think part of it for the instructors is, when they were getting a set hourly rate, at least they knew that was acceptable, right? That $30 to $35 a week was. But when we started tossing out the idea of fee based thing, and maybe they get four or five people, and then the next time they get 10 people, and the next time they get 2 people. They don't want to be one.
Yeah.
they're just not interested. It's not worth their time. You know what I'm saying?
But whose responsibility is the marketing? That's what I'm confused about.
I think that's something maybe we need to sit down and discuss with them a little bit more in detail, because we could set minimums, you know, where like, hey, we'll advertise this class for you, but if you don't get the set number of people to sign up for the session, because they've just paid for the entire session, where you're not going to make the money that makes sense to you, then you don't have to hold it. We'll reimburse the people who signed up for it. There's a minimum and maximum on those. And so really, all the instructor would be out would be their application time, you know, the time it took them to submit their application package.
Did you have something else,
Chris? I think just treat them as independent contractors, and you can give them an expectation. There's going to be a 6-week or a 4-week or an 8-week a period that we're going to try to pre-sell, and pay them $35 an hour, $30 an hour, and you know, if we don't get enough, a minimum by a certain day, then we just pull the program and open that slot up.
That's basically how
it works at Brentwood, and I like that model.
I think a lot of concern with this is that we're going to have another transitional period. So we just came through one, and then we're going to go into another one after the athletic park shuts down, until we shut the building down for renovation. That's the way that goes. And how do you operate from there? We're not providing any kind of marketing brochures at this time, and so how do we get the people into the classroom to make sense on that kind of program? So there are concerns right now.
The model right here.
Okay. One of the things that if you look at Brentwood, for example, we just picked this up. This is their new summer activity guide. I don't know if any of you've seen it. I just have my
one. It came out in the office the other day.
In it, they list that there's a minimum and a max. They do the exact same thing. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that's the concept. I don't know if it originated there originally, but I think that's where we had some indication that's a potential way to go. There's a minimum and a maximum. The other thing we have to remember is the fact that the other thing we have to remember is that we have been, our customer base is the former membership of the athletic club. And as we move forward, that membership right now is a very small percentage of the community. And we've been trying to continue to operate those kinds of programming that the athletic club operated for the sake of continuance and continuity and that sort of thing. But as we start to see, as those residents that are used to paying for one fee and they get a whole litany of classes, maybe not them all, maybe they don't get all of them, but they certainly, there's a number of classes that are offered that come with your membership, there are probably many, many more people that are in the community that would be interested in taking a wide variety of classes if we can offer them. So that's kind of the dilemma that we're into right now. It's the members that are there, they're taking the classes, and if they're going to move on to Delta Valley, and we're not going to have classes to offer this summer to continue that base, we're coming to you and asking for some guidance and some suggestions and that sort of thing.
Just another thing that was brought up too was that some of the classes that I think we're under consideration, they may require some minimum amount of equipment, like a BOSU ball, for example, or rubber bands, or those kinds of things. And I think one of the things I heard was that the instructors were being told they're going to have to provide that if they wanted to offer a class. My wife, she's not going to bring 6 or 8 BOSU balls in her car to the class. She's not gonna bring. You're calling somebody right now? Sorry, I thought he would be answering. Who are you calling?
Just turn them on.
Just one point, quick point before we got toward. Diane said something that I wanted to touch on. Brentwood's recreation director mentioned in our meeting that they're probably moving forward to not sending their guide to our residents anymore, and they're going to be raising their fees even higher, that they're going to have to recover 100% costs for people outside of the city. So our residents are going to be seeing an increase in cost to the programming, Brentwood now, and then we're also not seeing the mailboxes
That sounds like an opportunity.
Couple things. First of all, we had 6 or 8 instructors that came in here and were vehemently opposed to any closure of the community center and please support us and this and that. So I'm a little bit disappointed that now they want to jump ship. To me, that's like, I'm baffled by that, if that's the case, if that's what I'm hearing. I at that point would say, then we move on to other people, I guess. I don't understand what all the attention that was being given to our decisions, if in fact once we've made the decisions, if they don't want to be a part of it. Secondly, I agree with Rick in that we're really looking to branch out much further than a membership situation where they were going to be having to be part of the club in order to make use of the facilities. And I still believe that there is a void there that would be filled if we can put together a comprehensive program that would encompass fitness from a bunch of different angles, as well as classes, as well as taekwondo, as well as ballroom dancing, or whatever we want to put in it, that I believe that we could put a program together that would work within the community, because you know there's a demand here. And the demand has not been met of the last few years. You know, the church has, it had how many, 5 or 6 aerobics classes a week at least, if not 8 or 10, up until about a year and a half ago.
The yacht club has just started one too.
And so, again, I would encourage communication between the staff and the instructors, expressing, you know, our willingness to work with them on the situation. And, you know, in fact, we took into consideration their wishes and wants highly when we made some of the decisions we made to maintain certain aspects of the community center. And we really hope that they will continue to support our efforts to offer those programs.
I'm not sure it's entirely the instructors. I think that they are seeing their customer base moving. And so they're saying, if they're moving, we're not, the opportunities for us are not going to be there. So if their folks are leaving to go to Delta Valley to take classes, at that point in time, instructors are saying, what are we going to do as instructors? We can certainly try and bring in more people, but they're just letting us know that their core group of people that are taking the classes, that a number of them are moving forward to take advantage of the Delta Valley programs.
We're only
those programs have always been there, and they were working in a facility that was filthy. I'm confused as to why all of a sudden now it seems to be their desire to leave. You know, where's the motivation for that?
Well, they don't have students.
But here's the other thing too, is that the town's board's only decided to operate this thing till June 30th, and so they're seeing in 8 weeks or 7 weeks that they don't know the future, and so. You know, and there might be a recommendation to do some work there, and I think they're worried. I think the fall programming is very uncertain right now until we make a strong recommendation and get buy-in from the board on what to do with the property.
Well, I thought we have always talked about moving forward and trying to increase these 19 classes a week. There's always been discussion for it.
What if the building gets shut down temporarily? How do you do that?
I don't want to argue with you about it right now, to be honest with you. But thanks for bringing up the concerns. any other comments with regards to the community center operations update, specifically with regards to the program? I believe that we have made a connection. I think the mothership has reached out to Colorado. Am I correct?
Actually, he's in Kansas.
In Kansas, sorry.
So it's 8, it's 9:20, and Pat O'Toole from Greenplay was unable to participate in the last meeting due to a commitment that he had in Vancouver. But he's here this evening, albeit by Skype, to be able to discuss with the committee the draft Greenplay report. We went through some of it last week. I've given Pat an update on some of those conversations, but I'd like to go ahead and get through that so that they could finish the report, make a final report to be transmitted to the board. And it's important that we that we do that, especially in light of the what we just talked about and what the future is going to hold. So with that, I will turn it back over to the chair and see if, how you want to approach this. Matt, do you have any suggestions?
Well, I would just, first of all, hi, everybody.
Hey, Pat.
I would just offer that probably the most efficient way is if you got any questions of me or clarification or any of that stuff, that might be better than me just trying to do a presentation of something you've already read.
Okay, so there were several concerns that were brought up at the last meeting. Were those addressed in this draft proposal that we have, or is this exactly?
It's exactly what you have is what you see. In fact, what you have are the comments that came from Paul, because I took his so that I have his, because he was the only one that actually responded with comments to the document in writing. So this would be an appropriate time to go through the document if you'd like.
So help me out here, Rick. So I'm looking at little boxes with numbers, but I don't see the text that goes along with them. Or am I missing something there? Start on page 3. I see a box that says 6.1. What, 6-1, what does that refer to?
Yeah, you're right. Those don't show up. Paul, you have those in yours, though.
I have a little...
You have the notes that you brought last meeting? All right. That was, we covered that.
Okay. I think we got through most of his comments. There were one or two that we did not get through. One had to do with, I believe, dog obedience classes, and I don't recall what the other one was.
I think the key one was the one that was on page 5.
That was the biggest thing.
Yeah, so I would move to page 5.
But this is where, you know, people were saying that, you know, like the senior residents were asking, you know, to make sure that the pool was going to be able to manage. There weren't any kids there. That during the summer hours, people, you know, closing it down too early in the day, like 6 o'clock, didn't make sense to a lot of people. And, it's just in general, needs to be open longer. Right? It may be possibly broken up into certain sessions where different groups would have particularly, you know, specific access.
And those concerns were expressed to staff at the last meeting. Do you have a recommendation on how to handle the modification of the pool hour?
No, because we have some, we haven't discussed the actual hours of the pool because we've been working on just getting the pool and trying to get it open. And you get a recommendation back to you eventually.
The first start is to not define the hours of the school, the hours of the pool based on school days, because we're not, the pool is not just for kids. The pool is for the entire community. So when you start with defining the hours by what days the kids are in school and what days they aren't, that's probably not going to be the right approach. And Pat, I know that probably came from information that was conveyed to you, or may or may not have, and I don't mean to make it sound like I'm bashing. I'm just saying that we really want to be able to provide. There's going to be a lot of people in the community that are going to want to spend time there because the kids are in school, and they can have the pool to themselves.
Right. Well, and these hours were conveyed to me, but also it's pretty standard on the fringe, meaning before school's out and after school resumes, to go to these types of hours. A lot of this is based on availability of lifeguards, because your lifeguards are in school as well. And then the other thing I would say is I think it's what I do see in some pools is if they want a certain demographic, albeit most pools are a little larger and have different, particularly the new aquatic centers have different pools or modes for different ages. But you can design specific times for a specific group and post that. Open an hour early, let toddlers and moms in as a program. You can do the same with seniors. And a lot of times it's seeing when your peak hours are that the kids are there and when are the non-peak, and those sometimes become the hours that you really want to market to the seniors or the different demographics. So those things are easily amendable. And if prior to opening you've got the lifeguard coverage, then you can move it to whatever hours you'd like to.
Let me ask a question with regards to lifeguards at this point. Is there any time when the pool can be open without lifeguards? Legally?
No.
Never?
Well, California code allows you to not have a guard present as long as you don't charge admission, if you do not charge. Once you charge, you have to have a guard place.
Well, that's a catch 22, isn't it?
But the
because you need the lifeguard, you need to get enough people there to pay for a lifeguard, or you let everybody in for free and
there's no lifeguard.
And there's no lifeguard.
But one what? Of the comments.
Delta Valley doesn't have a lifeguard.
Yeah, but they're private. They're not a public entity. That's why I asked the question with regards to legalities for a public. Well, sometimes our laws are different.
When we met with Brentwood yesterday, we asked this question, and while the answer may be, you know, black and white, the reality is that the Parks and Rec director and the pool staff we met with, and these are the people that run the operations. They expressed a concern with respect to liability. If someone's there in a public pool, you don't have a guard, even though you might not charge during a period of time, then something happened. You're going to get sued if there was a guard there and if there's not a guard there. And the comment that came back was, it's just how much you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, no, I get that part of it. I just wanted to ask the question. And then how successful are they at staffing their pools over there in Brentwood?
We found yesterday that they go through Brentwood. Brentwood, Oakley, Antioch, they all use a company called Ellis Pools. And Ellis Aquatics, I'm sorry. And Ellis Aquatics is and I've done a little bit of research on them since our meeting yesterday. They are a nationwide, national company. They are similar to what the Red Cross does with respect to training guards and pool staff, if you will. And they have a higher standard than maybe the Red Cross might have. And their training program is different. And if you go through their training program for their lifeguards, then your facility gets accredited by them as well. And they don't accept everybody into their stable. And you have to go through, apply, and they have to come out and inspect your facility. If they pass all the different inspections, they will then allow you to implement the Ellis Aquatics training programs. They do not allow their guards, which is why we're having a difficult time with guards, they do not allow their guards to work in non-Ellis facilities. So that is why they're all trained as Ellis guards in Brentwood, okay, and Oakley and Antioch, and not Red Cross guards. And while Red Cross can, they can cross-pollinate, if you will, between Brentwood and Oakley and Antioch, but they can't come over here because we're not an Ellis Aquatics facility.
What defines an Ellis Aquatics facility?
Pat, do you know the more specific answer to that? We were talking about that a little bit earlier this afternoon.
I don't specifically. I'm going to guess that they've got a checklist or criteria on their website.
Did you have to pay, pay Ellis something to become a facility?
I don't believe so. I think they just have certain criteria, and they have to inspect the pool before they would endorse it as an Ellis pool.
It's just whether or not there's a monthly fee.
It's an annual, and they require so many audits per year. They cannot audit without you knowing. So they kind of
for safety and policy and enforcement of policy. If you got a lifeguard, if whatever, their kids are running all the time on what concrete, then you fail or whatever. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. We obviously need to find out more information about this.
That's right, and, okay. And we are in the process of doing that. The reason why we met with Brentwood was to discuss with them sharing of lifeguards, and it wasn't until we had that discussion with them that we realized that they cannot do that per their contractual agreements with Ellis. And so we would need to become an Ellis facility. They have a much higher standard of liability care, if you will, which is very good.
Is the Antioch Aquatic Park an Ellis facility up across the Deer Valley?
They are, yes.
And how long has this been?
Ellis has been around since the 80s.
So then if I knew somebody that was a lifeguard over there, she had gone through Ellis training probably.
Depending on when Ellis became part of their facility, yes.
All right. Then we need more information on any comments?
Yeah, school hours.
I
want to make a recommendation on hours for the pool operation. I would recommend that we open from like 5:30 in the morning for lap swimming, and then we go until about 6 or 7 p.m. at night for summer hours. Or
we'd have to have lifeguards.
Well, I get that. We have to set the time of hours that we need lifeguards. We'll find lifeguards, I'm thinking. But I think that if that's the staff involved, we need to figure out, well, how many hours is that? How many lifeguards do you need for a shift? How many shifts is that? I don't know.
I don't think we have enough lighting. Like, if we have to, there has to be enough light.
I don't know.
I know there's an issue with lighting.
I know that the sunrise is at 6 or 6:30 in the summer, but whatever those are, we should set an idea of what hours we try to open this thing, and then we should look at how can we get lifeguards besides Ellis.
And I would suggest that rather than that staff understand what the desire of the board is, or the committee is, and that it address that. And whether that be, and if we're really talking about people that want to swim before in the morning, then maybe the pool's open from 7 to 10 or 6:30 to 9 or whatever, but to take that into consideration and try to work with a model that allows for recreational swimming and fitness swimming and possible fitness classes in the morning. And then if it's closed through, I'm just saying we need to look at this model differently. I'm looking at weekdays where the pool isn't open until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that just doesn't serve the people at Discovery Bay. That just serves the kids. So I agree with
when I put this schedule together, it was based upon starting up slowly, knowing that we're not going to be able to offer a lot of classes this summer. If some fell in our lap, that would be great. But it was mostly to get the school open in the afternoons during the school year, and then during the summer days, open up a little bit earlier. We can certainly come back with a recommendation and what those costs might look like.
Any other comments with regards to that by the committee?
Can I make a comment?
Please.
Like I mentioned, I go to the classes over at Delta Valley, and there's about 20 to 25 ladies in those classes, and they run them Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, actually run them every day, but they run double classes on two of those days, plus Saturday. And there's like 20, 25 ladies in all those classes. And I know a number of those are from Discovery Bay, and that's always in the morning. And then they run an afternoon class, too. I take that back around 5 o'clock.
Do they have a lifeguard?
No.
We would have to.
But possibly the instructor may be a lifeguard.
Can't. Has to be. You have to have a lifeguard on deck.
The lifeguard
thing,
is always
on
deck.
With, like, if you had a high school,
if we're
going
to charge,
practicing.
We have to have a lifeguard.
Well, from a risk management point of view, you have to have a lifeguard if you have somebody.
Okay. What the committee would like to know is what the laws are, and then at least so we can at least have a discussion about it.
They're very ambiguous. And that's the same comment from Brentwood as well. So the risk management discussion was that you have to have a lifeguard.
But the instructor never gets in the pool there at Delta Valley. So she's on the concrete while she's doing the instruction. So if somebody did get in trouble, she could.
We'll look at
just
that.
Whatever.
Yeah. Any other comments here? Okay. I just, a general comment to keep going down this road. The concern of myself, and I would hope that the concern of this committee, is that we are providing a community center for the entire population of Discovery Bay, with availability for all the members and all the people that pay the bills and work here and vote and pay taxes and everything else, because starting small gives the impression that it's not for them, it's for somebody else. And we want to be inclusive, and this is only going to be successful if we include the entire population of Discovery Bay in our plans. I get that you can't just wiggle your nose and slap your arms and nod your head and have everything be done. I get that. But we have to continue to be cognizant of the fact that we're trying to engage the entire community in the community center. And maybe we are. I just wanted to make that general comment, because starting with the kids gives everybody the impression that the pool's for the kids. If even if it's just 2 days a week where we say, hey, we'd really like to have, and maybe nobody will show up. Maybe I'm wrong, but I still feel that it's a key factor to making this community center successful in the community is to engage the entire community.
I completely hear you. I just, real quickly, I know that we kind of went forward with discussing those hours from a cost recovery standpoint, because there isn't an assessment income or operating fund, you know, for this. And so we were really trying to be conservative on what were the best ways to recover our costs for that. And so staffing something where only, it's the same principle of why we shut down the hours of the community center, was, are we going to keep it open and staff it for only a few people? How many people can we get there? So yes, I hear you.
I apologize if I said that a little more forcefully than I meant to. But I was trying to make a point, and you know how I am. I get a little carried away sometimes. So I wasn't in any way scolding or anything. I was just making my point that, please, we're wasting our time here if we are not going to engage the entire community in this community center. And not only that, but we have future plans for this community center that we've all discussed about, and we would be shooting ourselves in the foot with regards to future plans if, in fact, we don't provide programming, attention, everything else for everybody that's there. And so I just want to keep that in the broader scope of what we do when we talk about these options. So if I was a little bit too emphatic there, that's the passion again coming out. So I didn't mean it to be that way. Any other comments about the pool? Hey, Pat, you still awake?
I'm here.
Okay, buddy. Tennis complex.
There's a couple tennis players that are here this evening. Farron and I met with some representatives of the tenant, different groups that use the tennis courts last week. And while it's on the agenda to discuss it later, this is certainly an appropriate time to bring it up. We recognize the commitment that the tennis group has had towards the tennis facility over the years. They've contributed a lot of their own resources to keep it maintained, to keep it presentable, and to keep it in operational status. It through a very difficult time I had without the owner putting too much of their own resources into it. And so again, with the Delta Valley decision to move it across the street, we've been talking to the tennis folks about different varieties and different methods so that we can achieve what everybody would like, which is some revenues for maintenance for the district, some opportunities for the tennis folks to be able to play tennis and to have tournaments and instructional classes and just to meet their own their daily recreational needs as well. And what that might have looked like. And so we presented a number of different options to them without any recommendations, without any suggestions relative to making a final determination, but one of which would be that the courts are open for free play, and that the tennis club, just like a little league team would reserve a ball field, a little league would reserve a ball field for their teams during the course of a little league season, that during the course of the tennis season, the tennis organization would be able to reserve their courts for their tournaments, and there would be a fee charged for that, just like we would charge for the Little League groups. There could be a fee that if you want to use it during certain times of the day, There's a whole number of ways to address this, and so we did meet with the tennis folks, and I know that one of them is here. I'm not sure if you have any comments this evening relative to that, but the committee certainly is it's in your area of discussion, so I'll turn it over to you.
Comment?
Have you ever found out who the league is? What's the name of it?
Oh, it's a Central Valley League, and we play...
Do you want to come on up to the microphone?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can come up together if you like.
Yeah, come on. Okay.
All right. We're just looking for information.
Okay.
Now, is this the group that Janet...
Janet Nelson? Yeah.
Different group?
Different group.
Well, give us as much information about the groups as you can.
Okay, so...
Anne-Marie, there's three different groups?
Anne-Marie, well, we spoke over at the club one time, didn't we?
Yes,
okay,
yes, we
good.
Did. Okay, so my name's Anne-Marie Hardy. I'm actually Rachel Walt's neighbor, so I always pick Ray's ear whenever I see him. I belong to two types of tennis associations, which is the USTA, and that is something, it's a club or association that is nationwide. The team that we have in Discovery Bay is called the Central Valley Team, and Central Valley consists of Turlock, Modesto, Stockton, Lodi, Woodbridge, Tracy, Manteca. So we're a traveling team. Teams travel to our club. We play from the beginning of September. We take a break from November to January, and then we start up again from January, finish in April. We've been playing every single Thursday for the past 5 years. There's 10 gals on each on our traveling team.
What hours do you play on Thursday?
We start at 9:30, and we're usually done by 11.
Okay.
A couple hours. And sometimes we will have other functions. You know, we might stay and have lunch or something and bring people. What we try to do is try to get the teams that are visiting, maybe we take them to the boardwalk for lunch. You know, more money for the vendors and everybody out there. And we try to do things with everybody. So this year, I've been with the team for 5 years, and this is the first year that we've actually taken third place. So we're going to be presented a trophy in 3 weeks at the Country Club of Stockton. And we had talked to the manager. We wanted to share our trophy and put it in the community center to tell you how proud we were. So it's been a long time.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
And so Mary actually plays on the team with me. Mm-hmm. We have practice with Antoine Graves. I don't know if you've seen him. He's the pro that teaches at Diamond Hills. He was here, and then we did right at Diamond Hills. He was from Tracy. But he's pretty much, you know, our director and works with us on Mondays and Fridays and maybe sometimes Saturdays. So we do practice as a team on Monday from 9:30 to 11, sometimes 10 to 11:30. We're not normally here past 12 o'clock. The group that Mary plays with on Friday is Janet. And
is that the one Janet called me about?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Can you help us out there? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, they play Tuesdays and Fridays. I only join them on Tuesday, but it's from 9 to about 11, and then we leave immediately.
And how many courts do you usually use?
Just one.
Okay. And
that
you?
One.
We use 5 courts on Thursday.
Okay.
So
you guys already know all this stuff? Okay, sorry.
And wow. Then there's the early birds that Frank is the main.
Oh
bird.
Boy, we got the everybody with the mixed doubles here tonight, huh?
Oh yeah.
Okay, tell us
yeah,
something, Frank.
Frank's the main bird, so.
Tell us about your group.
Group is fine.
It's recorded, so why don't you use the mic?
I'm gonna use the microphone. Okay. We have about 20 people. That regularly show up, and we play team tennis, so if we have more than two on a side, like we substitute in. We play on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday mornings, from 8 o'clock to 10, 2 hours each of those days. And sometimes in conjunction with Anne-Marie here, we hold tennis tournaments on either Saturday or Sunday. I think it's been predominantly on Sunday.
Right, right.
And so we'll have a Cinco de Mayo, or yeah. We have a St. Patrick's Day. We prepare food, and we also have some prizes at the end of that. But we've been using the money, any money that's left over from food and prizes, to maintain the courts.
Sure.
You probably know that story.
Sure.
And we're very thoroughly.
I understand you left a bunch of cracks in courts one and two, though. How come you haven't fixed those yet?
I'm just kidding. But you stopped the waterfall.
That's how I hear it. Yeah. And how many courts do you use?
We generally use two courts for sure, and maybe a third.
Okay. This all works out. This is all. Yeah. So this doesn't mean that you're dominating the entire area, but you want to reserve space so you can continue to operate the way you have been.
Yes, and if the town takes over the maintenance, we used to call the maintenance crew at Discovery Bay members.
Yeah. we would like to encourage more play there, and I think that would actually mean replacing some of the wind screens on the back courts and providing a little bit, because I asked that. I actually had a very long conversation with Jan Nelson. She's a friend of mine. She called, said she was out of town this week, couldn't be here for this meeting. And expressed pretty much the same kind of concerns. First of all, that as happened with, for whatever reason, rumors going around, the same thing that happened to us when we hadn't made any decisions on the athletic club. We hadn't really in the decision-making process, and yet everybody thinks we're abandoning the tennis clubs, or that was what's out there. And I want to reassure you that that is not what our intentions are, I don't believe, as a committee. In fact, as a committee, we've spoken, you guys haven't been here before, but we've spoken very much about how that's one of the strongest parts of the club. We want to support. I think staff, we've all been on the same page with that, right? Mm-hmm. And so please express to your members that we understand your loyalty and faithfulness to those courts, and we expect to have a program worked out that will allow you to continue that way, you know, because of that's why I kept asking how many courts you're using. We want to make sure that we offer the courts to the public also, but we want to offer that same kind of if you want to reserve it, you know, there but maybe a rental fee. You know, you can go use the barbecue at Cornell Park anytime you want to, but if somebody's paid a fee to reserve it, then you don't get to use it then.
We use it quite a bit.
If you have used it without reserving it, you got to share it with somebody because neither one of you reserved it. Right. That's the same. Am I going down the right road here? That's the same. This is what I told Janet on the phone the other day.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. If you want to use it, it's not going to be, you know, extravagant. It's not going to be tennis club. And we don't know what those fees are yet. Staff is going to do a good job of coming up with some reasonable fees, and they'll probably have discussions with the different clubs about it. But please reassure the people that are playing. And what does anybody know about the mixed doubles group that plays there?
That's my group.
Is that the one that Rick Lanis and Glenn Sparks and...
No.
No,
that's a... If you want to talk, I'll talk.
Go ahead.
That's a group of guys that play in the far courts.
Wow.
They play in the far courts on Saturdays and Sundays. They've been playing there for about 3 or 4 years. They kind of distance themselves from the association, the tennis association. They're kind of doing their own thing. I did speak to the president of the association, and he said that they had no interest in working with us, that we're pretty much on our own, and that's why we're here today, to try to figure out what we can do.
My understanding was that they're a traveling mixed doubles group. They're not anymore? Because I thought
the early birds is mixed doubles.
Okay, I thought that Anita and Glenn and Rick and Janie, these are all friends of mine.
Janie
plays?
They play USTA. USTA out of Diamond Hills. They're a traveling team.
So they moved over to
Diamond Hills
now,
right.
More or less.
They play in the USTA program.
Okay,
that's
where
they travel.
That clears that up.
Yeah.
And how often do you folks play at night?
Not very often.
I might play Thursday nights. If there's three, usually my husband plays with three other guys, and if the guy doesn't show up, then I become Bob. Then I play with the guys.
Just casual?
Roberto.
Just casual.
Is there a lot of night play?
There used to be. I don't think it's been, you know, hot enough to play at night, and everybody's kind of been a little bit skeptical about the lights, but, you know, now that they're fixed, and who wants, you know, afraid to get electrocuted, and, you know, what's going to happen, if this light works, you've got to move to this court, so that's been the issue.
Okay, I apologize to the rest of the committee. I just want to get a lot of questions out there, so I'm going to shut up and let you guys ask questions at this point.
May I interject something here? It's not only the lights, but the receptacles are down at water level when you wash the courts, and there's one that works, but maybe the power. If you want to bring in music or you want to have a ball machine, you have to run a court probably 250 feet
Is that still like that?
Last time I checked.
Was that recently that you were trying to... We had some repair work done on the outlets there, and so I just wasn't sure.
Well, we have to check it out.
It was last month, though. So
you take a paper clip and you hold it and you put it. I'm sorry. The rest of the committee, questions or?
I just want to understand more about the early bird group. That's not USTA. That's just a social group of neighbors getting together regularly.
Yeah, I was here a couple months ago.
So that's pretty casual.
USTA is the only official.
Okay.
The early birds are mainly retirees, because who's going to get Monday and Wednesday morning play tennis before they go to work?
Do you have any, is USTA have any youth program or anything?
No, we have USTA, I play USTA mixed doubles in Manteca.
Okay.
So, because Discovery Bay really doesn't offer anything there. So I've been playing there for the past 2 years. We would like to start a team, Marches here.
A USTA combo team.
USTA combo team of women. They have different levels of tennis, 3.0, 3.5, 4.0. We would like to start a combo team that would play from September to...
I think they play till November.
And that would be on Saturdays and Sundays.
There's six women, so we need
three courts.
And I did call USTA, and they will sanction this facility, and they don't care what the name of it is. They know the venue, and they said it was fine.
Okay. Anybody else?
Comment.
Go ahead.
I think the USTA is the National Tennis League, and I think that we should find out more about how our we can establish Discover Bay USTA and get that. I know you already established, but let's get this a little more organized. But
we have a lot of people that are interested in coming out to have to play USTA and Discovery Bay. We just have to get the right fit and the right teams. So, you have to get the right mix of matches for people to play.
And you need the right commitment from the town to maintain the courts so you can invite traveling teams in.
Right.
And to maintain and upgrade and update and do some whatever we have to do
standards
to make that happen.
But there's also fees involved. You have to become a USTA member, so that costs money.
But that's an individual product.
Right. And then when you join the team, there's a $22 fee for each team you join.
Where does that money go?
To USDA.
Okay.
But before, because we have a lot of interest and we have enough women to field the team, however, before we ask them to pay to join USDA, and before, which I think is it $66, and then another $22 to be on the team, they're going to be hesitant to pay that money and not be assured that we're going to actually field a team for USDA. Otherwise, it's for naught.
Well,
and it's availability of the courts.
Okay.
I'd like to add one more thing.
Sure.
And that is that for quite a while I played tennis in Southern California. Can I say that here?
Yeah.
In Santa Monica. Yeah. And we had coin machines for the lights at night.
Yeah.
We were on public courts.
Yeah.
I don't see any objection to that here. And I've talked it over with the early birds if they wanted to play at night.
Yeah.
We'd be put your 50 cents in, you get an hour of light. So that's a possibility.
Something to consider. Any other, Chris, are you?
No, thanks.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much for your input. That was very helpful to provide knowledge. Staff may have already known that, but I'm sure the committee was not as informed.
What we're going to do, we discussed this with Anne-Marie a couple weeks ago, or last week when we met with her out of the courts on site and the different groups, is that we wanted to let them discuss kind of some ideas and some considerations and some options, and then let them come back, and we'll circle back again probably next week sometime.
I think this is one of the least challenging issues we have to deal with. I think that we're going to be able to work this out in a way that's going to accommodate.
The tennis courts don't need lifeguards,
they don't.
We need a broom.
they need some maintenance. We understand that, and we understand there's going to be some.
Going to shotgun for the birds.
Now you're getting to see. Now you had to go there, right? Okay. Because I might volunteer. Thank you for your input, staff. Thank you for having discussions with these, and please move forward in that way. Out of consideration for the time change and for Pat on the phone, let's get back to what we're going to do with this draft at this point, so we can I hate to kind of jump around like that, but we're still in it. We just kind of moved to item four. Let's get back to green play. And are we ready to move forward? Anything more on this or not tonight? Or where are we with this staff? I don't believe that it's in a position where I'm willing to approve anything. I mean, the tennis court fees aren't what I'm looking at. So this has to be absolute severe modifications to it. And I would suggest, if it's okay with staff, that we just table this until some more work can be done to it, so it can be brought. Or help me out, Rick. I'm open for suggestions.
The tennis hours and the tennis situation, the pool and those hours and that type of thing, those are just components of the overall report that are just that they're almost standalone. The report itself really gets into the this is kind of your roadmap. If you want to run a program, this is kind of the way that. This is one way to skin that cat if you want to move it forward. Pat and his company recommend, and I highly agree with, the concept of don't jump too far into it. Get into it at a reasonable pace. So that's something that
I want it all, and I want it right now.
I know we all that we Lord, give me patience and give it to me now, right?
Can we?
But from that perspective, indulge me for one more minute, please.
Yep.
From that perspective, I think the report is a really good report. Pat and I have gone through it a couple of times before the board and the committee ever saw it. We vetted it out and went through some versions of it. So with that, I would probably recommend that maybe what we do is we come back the next meeting with a recommendation on the report itself. And knowing that the times and the tennis courts and those kinds of things can be dropped in at a later date or at that point in time, whenever you want to drop in. Those are pretty much standalone relative to the report itself.
So are you suggesting then that this is more of what would be considered a reference for us as opposed to the exact model that we would want to follow?
I'll let Pat answer that question.
Yes, and kind of where we're at is part of the reason I'm on Skype instead of in front of you. We're basically at the end of our scope. And as I told Rick, what I'd like to see is any edits. So it might be personal preference on whether those are hours or prices or where you go with it. The other thing, there's a couple of things that if I were there, I would probably be raising my hand and speaking up. I'm going to give this report to you not only in a PDF that's ready to print, but a Word format, so that if you choose to look at this document or portions of this document to be an operational manual, which is kind of where you see the pricing, because pricing is going to change probably every couple of years, I would guess. Hours might change based on some peak times, non-peak times. Certainly your programs are going to change. So those types of things typically go into the publications like your program brochure, as hours might change or times might change, and certainly programs and pricing. So I didn't look at this as a set in stone operational manual, but to give you ideas based on what we heard, and particularly talking with staff and some of the folks while I was out there. And again, as Rick said, going back and forth with some of those edits. So from my perspective, any edits that you do have to the actual report, we're more than willing to make those, finalize that, but also give it to you in Word that even if it's this or you create an owner's manual and just want to pull out sections of this and use it, because we want this to be a working document, but I don't think you have enough details, even on dates. For example, for your pool, my guess is this first year, you're not going to have to worry about while school's in session because you probably won't be open. Secondly, I think two ideas. The biggest distraction from those hours are going to be lifeguards. We just know that there's a shortage of lifeguards. The one thing I'll say about Ellis is they train year-round and they train the trainers. So you then, once you have Ellis Lifeguard, you can have some trainings to create your own pool, so to speak. No pun intended. Red Cross typically trains in the winter, and not very often. So that might be the downside, but the plus side is that they aren't as stringent on their pool regulations. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not. That is why we see a lot of up and coming rec departments with aquatic facilities, particularly year round, or people that want to be open more than just the summer, going to Ellis, because they can kind of over a few years establish their own lifeguarding system. The other thing that you might consider is, yes, the laws are a little ambiguous. What we do know is, if somebody were to drown and you didn't have a lifeguard on the deck, you're probably out of the aquatics business for a while and maybe out of the city recreation business based on the lawsuits that will come forth. Because it's pretty easy to prove negligence in those situations, on the sewers perspective. If you do have, then it's a little tougher. If you are charging admission, if you're attracting folks there versus a little bit different than a hotel pool that you enter just from the hotel. But the point I was getting to is, if you wanted to get to, say, some lap swimming, in the model we have right now, that is, we have an hour of cleaning before every day opening. You could extend that to 2 hours pretty easily, and that considers that while they're cleaning, you're going to be able to have seniors lap swim, even have a senior water aerobics class while the lifeguards are cleaning, and that's considered on deck, and that's how most people handle that. Where you don't have to sit in a chair and watch one person swim laps that is more than capable of swimming, or even lifeguards, or I'm sorry, swim lessons. Lifeguards with life saving are there with a 1-6 or 8 ratio on kids. Common sense tells you that that's probably the better situation than having to have somebody on deck, but the rules and liabilities are the same. So that might be a way that, particularly if you're having trouble on your first year getting lifeguards, part of that was the concern. If you get them, then maybe you can advertise senior lap swimming or whatever. I think if you check around, particularly on outdoor pools, these hours are pretty standard for outdoor pools. Because what we do know is, once school starts and until school gets out, seniors, parents, and the other demographics, not just kids, America just hasn't really signed up to, unless you're an exercise swimmer, the swimsuits come out Memorial Day and to Labor Day. And a lot of pools struggle during those other 9 months, other than the handful that want to exercise swim. So those are pretty standard, but I understand. So it's not just about kids. It involves lifeguards and parents and soccer leagues and everything else. If you do have some seniors who want to swim, that might be a way to do it. Just let them advertise it and let them come in an hour or two before you open every day of the week. So that'd be 7 days that they can come in and get their swim in.
Any questions?
I just think just food for thought, and I'm able and willing to do whatever you guys would like to do. I'd like to get it into more of an editing than back and forth. Let you guys make some decisions, and then I'll fix it.
I agree. Any questions of Pat by the committee?
Yeah, Pat, regarding the partnership policies and sponsorships, could you point me to an area in this on this handbook on related to people wanting to say sponsor or donate construction or services or something to the project? I was looking at the partnership and I couldn't quite. I guess there's a sponsorship section, but suppose I have some friends that want to donate building something on the property or staffing lifeguards for a summer. How would they go about that, and would a partnership benefit? Is that something we'd want to work on?
Yes, and I think what we've got in here are just sample policies that, again, I will supply in a Word format, and depending on, these are intended to work for the most simple sponsorship or partnership and the most complex. So I tell people, if it's not relevant, you can't, if you have to work too hard to put something in a section, you probably don't need a section. But it does my definition of sponsorship versus partnership. A partnership, in my mind, is somebody that will take a risk with you and assist you in providing the service at that risk. A sponsorship is when you're asking for somebody to donate time or money to an event, or it could even be a building. So using either one of those, and again, going as simple as you can, but what this, the two things that people on a sponsorship, in particular partnership, usually fail at, and that is putting it in writing, period. It's amazing how many handshake deals, you know, 20 years ago, and nobody has changed it, or it's rumor, nobody can provide a signed document. Secondly, I advocate that a true partnership should be reviewed annually and make sure that both partners are happy with the situation and how it turned out, and if not, how do you adjust it to keep it going versus just throwing it away or letting it really get sour by not addressing it. So those are the two things intended in the appendices, are just to customize those based on complexity in what you have already going. If that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Do you have any examples in the entities you've worked with where a private or a nonprofit would operate the community center for the government?
I've seen a few. I actually operated 12 golf courses in Indianapolis, and the oldest one in the inner city, when we opened all those up to RFP for operation, turned into a nonprofit. There's a lot of state laws. I mean, my opinion is the easiest way is to find a nonprofit that's already existing, that has a like mission for what you're doing. The ones that I see that don't work or fail are when you try to put the square peg in a round hole and use an already existing nonprofit, or try to create one just to skirt some sort of it's usually financial on the front end. It's going to take the same amount of coverage. The other thing that works real well in those situations, that doesn't involve a 501c3, is the work creation program that I put in the appendix, which is sweat equity, community wide, all ages, and you actually track that and in return for that service or work, you give them passes or admissions or program fees. Works really well with teenagers, but also I've seen it work with parents that want to give back and create something special in their community, and they're willing to come in and put 10 hours a week work during the weeks they can that they can afford to do that, and then they can pass that equity on to their kids for the program. So there's three right there that work. There's a reason we don't see a whole lot of nonprofits doing it, is in my opinion, it's when those volunteers in that 501c3, they get tired of doing it or putting in so many hours, or in a lot of cases they just get burnt out and there's nobody to pass the baton to. So trust me, I've seen a Rotary Club run the second largest tourism park in South Dakota for 60 years. And 5 years ago, they couldn't get 10 people to help them put on their Christmas deal because they were all over 90. So it happens.
All right. Yeah, I think the work creation idea is a good one. I appreciate your feedback.
Any other questions or comments for Pat at this time? Staff, you will be working to put final edits together so we can wind up our current relationship and contract with Greenplay. And do you have anything you want to add, or can we let him off the
We can let him go. The only thing I would suggest, and maybe what we do is, Pat, when we talk tomorrow, we can talk about breaking out leaving the bones of the report in place, but maybe breaking out some of those other items that might require future discussion.
Okay.
So we can pull the time score and some of those
master plans.
Thank you, sir.
Pat, thank you very much.
Good night.
Thank you, guys. Awesome.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Okay. is it, I think we can move to E3, can we? Or do we want to go to E5 as long as we're... I don't care what we do.
It sounds like it depends so much on the lifeguard thing.
Well, what? Oh, I forgot to ask him the one question I was going to ask, and that is, how come? Why is our consultant telling me that, as far as he can tell, we won't have the pool open this summer? Why is? I mean, how? What information does he have? I don't have. Or was that just a misstatement on his part?
I didn't hear him say that the pool wouldn't be open this summer.
I thought he said it won't be a problem because the pool won't even be open. That's what I heard him say.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm glad to hear that that's not the case. I understand we have some challenges.
We do have challenges.
And I understand that it's going to take patience on all of our parts.
The pool will more than likely not be opening by the end of this month.
I've come to see the writing on the wall.
Is it a physical thing that need to be done?
It's because of the
process.
The process is that since we're kind of on discussion here.
Okay, we're on E5, by the way, in case anybody wants to follow along with your scorecards.
The companies that we're dealing with, one is an equipment supplier, one is a construction company that builds pools and renovates pools and maintains pools. And they're a fairly large company. They're in the Bay Area. They work throughout the Bay Area. And each county has a different set of rules and regulations through their different departments. When we first met with them, and up until a variety of meetings with them, since all we are doing is in our minds as well as in their minds, we are doing maintenance and replacement of equipment. We're not doing renovation. We're not opening up the deck. We're not remodeling the pool. That we could go through with just the regular inspection to the county, just make sure they pass the inspection, the electrical and the plumbing and that sort of thing. And so that was always planned for. However, we have since learned that it is that we will more than likely have to submit a set of plans that has to go through plan check, and those plans, as I understand it, are supposed to be submitted tomorrow. I am working with the county and discussing with one of our county reps. Some of you may know Rich Seithel. He's been kind of running interference a little bit for me, and hoping that we can shorten the process period. But once all the equipment's in, it's all been delivered. We're just waiting right now on getting those plans in and getting them turned into the county. And that's an unfortunate roadblock or bump in the road that we run into.
Okay. So it's not off the schedule for the summer. It's probably off the schedule for Memorial Day weekend.
Well, that was never intended for this year. That was always intended for another year.
What about the raising? Are there things that can be done? But is an issue with the fence?
Yeah,
we can move forward with that.
We're going to move forward with the fence, and Farron and I have already discussed the ideas that both Director Steele and Graves mentioned regarding the possibility of moving that one fence out. We've already discussed the issue with irrigation. There might be some it might be necessary to change some of the irrigation, the way the flows are, the way the heads are. That Farron indicates that's pretty straightforward.
My extremely scientific poll, which means that I asked four people about it during Earth Day, thought it was a good idea. So
the more graphs, the better.
Tongue in cheek, obviously it wasn't a scientific poll, but they seem to think that would not be a bad idea as long as we have to put it in fence in anyway. But if it becomes an issue with regards to digging up half the grass to do it, it may not be a good idea. We're always conscious of cost, but I think it would be great to add a little more grass to inside the pool area. If we discuss the hours of operation pool, we're being redundant. I think we've already expressed. Is there any other further comment with regards to the hours? And what, do you have something more for me?
Well, I just have a couple other items to discuss with you. Just waiting.
With regards to?
Well, back to item number E2,
okay.
The second part of that. Just as an FYI, you should have in front of you a couple-page listing. If you remember, on Earth Day, we had the boards with the dots on them. This is the summary of those dots. To be perfectly honest with you, I haven't had much of a chance to get into it yet, so let's go ahead and schedule this for the next meeting and just as an initial future discussion item, just as an FYI on that.
That dog obedience just keeps jumping up, doesn't it?
Dog obedience was highly requested.
But
it's highly in a lot of communities.
But second to martial arts, though.
It's really not that many.
Not second to martial arts, behind martial arts. Yeah. The most is arts and crafts.
That's because somebody staffed the deck on that, I'm sure.
Not me.
Who was, Paul, did you do most of the tally and communication on this? Was that?
I told people who inside put the dots on.
Okay, was anybody manning the board or did people just?
Yes, we had someone inside was manning the board.
Who was that? Not here tonight?
It was the staff.
It was Chris Middleton with the chamber.
That's fine. So she's not here to comment, so we'll just take it for what it is here. If it happened to be somebody here, I'd like to hear if there's any personal comments with regards to what was made there, but if there's not, that's fine. So what would you like to do with this charge? This is great stuff. This is good information. I think it somewhat mimics. It would be interesting to put this.
We'll go back and have to compare that.
Yeah. That would be good, I think, to see how it compares to the monkey wrenches thing. I mean, survey monkey thing.
Monkey wrenches is a big place.
Yeah.
Monkey wrenches is where I used to get my car fixed.
Used to?
Then they're still in business, and they're a great repair shop, by the way, folks.
They are.
So, moving along as expeditiously as possible into future building. I'm sorry, staff, are you finished with that subject? Great. Any comments from anybody or concerns that before we move to the next item? I have a tendency to move things along without taking anybody's feelings into consideration.
Well, it seems like a lot.
I was actually called by somebody close to me a steamroller at one time. I don't know what that was referenced to.
Kind of a.
But anyway, nonetheless, shall we move on to our almost last and final item, which would be almost the future building renovation discussion. Staff, please lead us through your thoughts on this.
Thank you. You saw this. At the last meeting, the joint meeting between the board and the committee, along with the cost estimate on that, we are approaching our budget drop-dead dates in terms of getting the budget to the board relative to our fiscal year end, which is June 30, to have our new budget by July 1. And what I'd like to find out from the committee is your position and feelings on the concept of renovating the building. We discussed that we would, theoretically, we would operate through the summer, shut the building down on or about September the 30th. During the summer months, during July, August, and September, we would be under design, going through plan check, out to bid. Theoretically, on October the 1st, we'd have a bid award, and the contractor can go ahead and get started on the building renovation. Depending on how the bids come in and everything else. And what we'd like to know and what we'd like to be able to do is either include this in our budget or not. Right now it's included in the budget until just so that we have it and we're programming for it. But we want to be able to discuss it with the committee so the committee can make a recommendation to the board.
Why would we not include it?
Well, the committee hasn't made a determination. It's in there as a placeholder right now. And so we are going to have some issues with Zone 8 this year relative to funding and expenses. And we're going to have to get into that. And the board is going to have to get into that. And it's going to be I'm not sure if it's going to be a painful process, but it's going to be
an
in-depth process relative to Zone 8 and funding and the revenues and the sources of revenue. but from the source of funding, if we did move forward with this, there's a sheet there that I provided last time. I gave it to you again today. It says building renovation estimate at the time. And
so how, you know, the here's how I see this, and I need to put one hat on at a time. Which is sometimes difficult to do. So here's how I see this as a community center committee. I think that really what we're looking for here is a consensus by the by this committee to say, in order for this to be successful, one approach would be maybe that in order for us to see this be a successful community center to serve the community, we need to do these renovations. That would be one approach, and that's what, and that would be a recommendation we'd make to the board. How exactly it gets funded and how that funding gets approved is really not a concern of this committee.
Correct.
So I, but again, that's where it becomes difficult sometimes for me to take off all my hats. I want to ask a zillion questions, but let's not get into that because really we're not approving any funding here. The board can then decide to take our recommendation or not take our recommendation with regards to funding and moving forward with renovation. But let's for a moment take a brief minute to discuss what would happen if we didn't renovate the building. Obviously it would stay the way it is.
If we didn't renovate the building.
Let me help you out with that. It would stay the way it is.
If we didn't renovate the building, I don't think that we would have the facilities to be able to offer the types of programming that would make it in the long run successful. If you look at community centers, that they need to be like a library, like any public place. They need to be inviting, and they need
exactly.
to be somewhere where
be
people
clean,
want people,
right.
where people want to go. They want to walk in and say, wow, this is a really cool
right.
place. I want to take a class there.
Okay. So I think that we need to be able to give staff direction. We need to make a recommendation, what do I need to do here, staff?
I like to know if the committee is interested in moving a building renovation. This preliminary plan was developed back in, I want to say late January. We have not engaged the architect anymore on any other discussions. I know Director Steele and I have had some conversations regarding the center courtyard. But in terms of the actual layout, this was just a first cut. We would go through a design process, and we would go through some value engineering to see what works, what doesn't work. I mean, already we know the floor in the fitness room is in a horrible condition.
Right.
And we'd like to change that out. And I would probably recommend that we do the whole building all at one time. We not piecemeal and do the fitness floor in one room and then come back and do the building. We just do it all at one time.
And maybe this
the new roof,
exterior, yep.
And maybe this will last 5 or 10 years as we're scrambling to get to the next phase?
This building should be able to last another 30 years. I mean,
maybe the last building this community center ever had. I don't know.
It could be.
But we need, it needs, I exactly along the same lines as I started with my little speech earlier today, and that is that we want to invite the whole community, from the building to the programs to the hours of operation to everything else. And I think this is a key component of that theory. And I would entertain a motion. I would entertain a motion to accept the budget to move forward. But before we do that, is there some discussion with regards to, I don't know, we need to get in design at this point, really. Is that what you wanted to do, Chris?
I like the layout. I just want to acknowledge the committee likes this layout in general, or if there's something that stands out.
Well,
are these uses acceptable, I guess?
If I can, Director Steele, suggest that if this gets approved by the board and we move forward with it, that we would This is just a very initial concept.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I, at this point, we're not, that's what I'm trying to say.
If this committee continues, I
think it's a great start.
Yeah,
right.
I think it's a great start. I think it addresses many of the issues. There may be that the entryway's too big or the meeting rooms are too small, but let's not get into that at this point in time.
This renovation plan does not move any exterior walls.
Which is a key factor.
It moves interior walls, but no exterior.
And the budget's based on moving no exterior walls.
That's correct.
Okay. I would entertain, is there more discussion?
Well, I just had a question.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I know we're training for the fall and all that. Is that because there's just no way to start any earlier? I mean, you could go to the swimming pool by walking around the edge, so it
It really
open.
Is going to take 90 to 120 days to,
just to get all from
design concept. So,
yeah. So, no matter what,
so let's try to maintain some continuity. Hopefully, we'll work out some of the issues we're having with programming and with the health club coming in across the street. I think it's a good idea for us to be open, to be inviting.
We might have this project was to go forward. Maybe it would be ready by spring.
Depending on the construction period, 90 to 100.
Thank you for your input, all.
Can
I come with you?
It would be our desire and our being staff's desire, and I think the committee can appreciate this, that on January 1st of 2014, we open a new facility with a modest amount of programming to get started as we roll into the winter, the spring, and then into the summer months. We expand it. And continue going from there.
I have one question.
With 2014 really being the full year.
I just have one question. Do you know approximately how many people each of these rooms will accommodate? And that doesn't have to be answered tonight. But.
If you look at the sheet here that has the room sizes on it.
Right.
It depends on the activity. So when you have an assembly, you have a lot more people that can be in the room at once if they're seated.
If you have a table set up for a banquet, there's going to be less.
But you usually have a maximum number.
The fire department has
A maximum number per room.
We'd have to go back through that.
That would be part of the design process.
It can't be 300.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, it was based upon the maximum size. Like when we went through our inspection with the club when it turned over, it was based upon each room's use.
Right.
So this room could have this many people, this room could have this many, and they use the tightest number. Like if you're going to use that, if those can be fitness, so then they added them all up. So.
One question I have, I know we're not getting into details for all the rooms, but I don't see anything like a little kitchen. I know we can't have a good cooking class kitchen. But, if you're going to have a little meeting and you want some food and stuff, like when I went to the Livermore one last week, and all their meeting rooms have little kitchens off of them. Would that be necessary?
I think we're looking at maybe a sink and some of the, and like the activity rooms. The equipment that goes into it,
there's no kitchenette in the plan.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to recommend that we move forward with a renovation budget as proposed by staff, if anybody would like to make that motion.
I move that we go ahead with this building project using the budget recommended by staff.
Let me modify that. Can I modify your motion?
Okay.
I would recommend to staff that we approve the proposal to renovate and recommend to the board that they consider our recommendation. So we can't.
Yeah, right.
We have to.
Use
that would be.
Got that, Carol?
Yeah.
Did I say that properly?
Yeah,
okay. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, great. The motion has been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Any comments from the public? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, board. Thank you, committee, for that. And before we move to the future agenda items, any further comments from the board on how the progress of the committee's working? Can I do that? It's not on the agenda. Under future agenda items. First of all, when do we want to have our next meeting?
Not on the Tuesday or Monday.
It's, not on the second Tuesday.
It's not going to, it's not going to, there's no more Mondays for me through, well, except the 18th, 13th. I'm out of town the next, well, the 27th is Memorial Day, and the 20th I'm out of town.
Do
we need to, when do we need to meet again?
Do we need to be involved in the pool?
Staff? No. Well, no, only hours of operation, but it's going to move forward. Staff, when do we, thanks, Darren. When do we need to meet again?
This is going to kill me. Because I want to be out of town that week in Memorial Day, but I think that we need to meet probably that week.
You're going
to
be out of town when?
I am.
28th, 29th, and 30th?
Memorial Day is the weekend before.
Yeah, my daughter's
24th,
coming
25th,
to
26th.
27th is Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial's the 27th.
Right. The week before. But it's okay.
Well, the only night that I can meet that week is Tuesday or Wednesday, 21st or 22nd.
Yeah, I'm working on the 22nd.
And I can meet again on the 28th, 29th, or 30th.
I'm available the 21st.
I'm available the 21st.
I could be available the 21st. Yeah. You guys might have to meet without me on the 21st. But I think I'm out of town, but I might be. I probably should be back by 7 o'clock on the 21st. Yes, I will be back. We can do it on the 21st if everybody's available on the 21st.
Or the 28th.
Right after Memorial.
It's the day after.
The day after. Are you out of town on the 21st? Are you supposed to be out of town?
I'm going to be out of town 2 weekends in a row, so I'm trying, and since there's no board meeting for 5 weeks, I'm trying to
find time to vacation time?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. That's why I'm taking off the 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Well, I'm trying to do it the weekend before.
Can I come down to your house on the 28th, 29th, and 30th?
Yeah, I'll be gone.
21st to 28th. Speak up now, please.
28th is best for me.
Does 28th work for you, Rick?
There's a mixer that night. I won't be here. It's a chamber mixer that night.
Of what?
The 28th.
What about the 29th?
What is?
29th.
Okay.
It's a Wednesday.
I'm available.
There's no board meeting that week.
Let's do it. 29th.
What's the 29th?
Let's do it.
Are you a member of the chamber?
Past president.
But would they, under what capacity? That would be through all of it?
And, Mr. Chair, if something comes up where I need where I need some direction from the committee, you know, we can always call a special meeting that might have to meet during the day or for an hour or whatever. So that option is always available.
Your agenda item.
Okay, so future agenda items.
I have one.
Yes.
And it really doesn't have anything to do with the community center, but yes, it does. I got a call today at the church, and we can't accommodate at the church. On August the 8th, there is a group of 30 bicycle people that cross the entire country every year. Last year, they spent the night in Brentwood. They don't have that option this year, and they do things for Habitat Humanity. So they need a place to stay the night of August the 8th. 30 bicycle people, they'll sleep in sleeping bags. So, you know, I was going to throw that up that we might want to think about it and potentially make that offer to them as a really good community event and some really good PR. They're going to be in Davis the night before, and then they'll be cycling through to this area and then moving on.
Churches can't handle them.
Oh, Byron United Methodist, not big enough to.
You mean have them?
Have you talked to Delta Community?
No, but I thought it'd be a great thing for the community center to have these 30 people overnight, and we'll still have showers there by then. Just throwing it out for thought.
Okay. When's it? What's the date?
August the 8th.
And we have time just for
yeah. Let me get with Marianne and get some of the details.
Yeah,
later.
I'll get the phone
future
number, the girl that's running
next
it.
Next future agenda item.
And you can.
Is there one?
Her.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, I'm a Discovery Chamber of Commerce member, and I work with a lot of realtors in town, and the community center is a key focal point for why people want to live in Discovery Bay. They may not be fully informed of the potential, the opportunity that we've got in this community center. And I'd like to put an agenda to discuss having a town-sponsored community center coffee mixer, like on a weekday. Usually the chamber really meets at night, and I wonder if we could do something in July, mid-July, for a morning coffee and an update on what's going on, and let them do their soap mixer, business to business, but also let the town or a committee or somebody give an update with some dog and pony show, what we're doing, and get some more buy-in and get the word out, because these guys don't know.
Just give me a call offline if we talk about some dates and that kind of thing. Just as a sidebar issue to that, I did get a call from Ravina, I believe was her name. She's the member, she's the programming chair. Mm-hmm. And she asked if we would be willing to host a mixer, and I told her we would, but not this year. And so we penciled in for May of next year at the community center.
Awesome. Can we just expand that agenda item to encompass specifically that type of thing, but also outreach and education altogether? Because it's obvious that people are still getting the wrong message. And I know that Chris shared with me that there's realtors in the area that are probably not intentionally giving misinformation with regards to the need and necessity for a community center, but don't understand why we're going through this process. And so education would be beneficial and for them to understand that this is an asset when they go to sell a house to somebody and say, yeah, and besides that, we got this great community center with a pool and yada, yada, yada. So,
do the realtors have an organization where they get to all get together?
Any other future agenda items?
Can I address this gentleman's question? He's been sitting here all night patiently waiting.
I'm sorry, I forgot the question.
It had to do with when's the fitness equipment going to be leaving and hiring.
We didn't get there.
It will be going, it will be staying there for a while, but it will be closed down as of June 30th.
And in the 6 weeks, we've been asked not to give any money after June 30th. But we don't know what's going to happen after that. Well, it's only money, but
that's great.
Important.
That's
it?
We don't know either.
We don't either. Okay. With hearing no more, I move for my monarchy to adjourn it.